If you have your Bibles, turn back to Mark 4. I'm doing this parable is mentioned in Matthew and also Luke. But I love Mark's interpretation, probably the best. It's especially for me. Stand with me to Mark 4. Now, here's what we did this morning. We read to you the first 12 verses. The first 12 verses. And it told us the story of the sower, the seed, and the soil. Now, what the Lord Jesus is going to do, he is going to interpret the parable in the next verses. And I want to read those verses starting at verse number 13. And I want you to notice what he says. He says, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? Now, what he's trying to say is, you ought to know this one. The sower, I'm the sower. And by the way, how many found out this morning? You're a sower. You know, I'll tell you an expense that the deacons and I would like to spend more on. Can I tell you what it is? See them track racks back there? I would love to see every one of you get a big handful of those tracks and pass them out, and that we'd have to fill them every week. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Because you're a sower also. When we talked about him being a sower, he's a perfect sower. And then we talked about the seed being the Word of God. That is a performing, hallelujah, performing word, a performing seed. Amen. I want you to know God said, my word will not return unto me void. I still believe there's a promise if we get the word out, God will give us results. And we don't have to do a lot of gimmicks to get results. We just got to preach the word to get results. Y'all with me? He said, how then will you know all parables? I'll be honest with you, Chad. There's some parables that Jesus gives that's a lot more difficult than this. And you can't, if you don't know this one, you'll never know the rest of them. That's really what he's saying to you. But look at verse 14. He interprets. The sower soweth the word. The seed is the word. Now notice, we talked this morning, the sower is perfect. The word is performing. But I want you to know tonight, the soil is problematic. If there's a problem, it's not with the sower. And it's not with the seed. It's with the soil. I've been asked this question. Let me magnify a moment. Why is there some people come to church and they don't last long? They're in, they're out. Why is it there some people just seem like they just don't get it? They just don't get it. There's never been a change in their life. How do you explain that? I can't explain it. Because they're one of these four soils. Amen? Now let's look at them. Are you there? And these are they by the... Notice what the Bible says. By the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, now he said it was fowls over in when he first read the passage. Now he's interpreting. He said Satan is the fowl. He's the dirty bird. Good preacher, Reverend. Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Then secondly, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, listen to this, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure before a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Whew. Somebody help me here. This is good preaching. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and some bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Our Father, help me, Lord, as I preach tonight, that I'll preach with power, and I'll preach with such authority, and I'll give you all the praise and honor in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. How many of you would agree with me that this parable spends more time with the soil than it did with the sower or the seed? You say, why, preacher? Because there's nothing wrong with the sower and there's nothing wrong with the seed. I want you to know, he said the seed is the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to debate it with a bunch of liberals, but I am going to preach it. We have the word of God. I'm told we don't have the word. We have the word of God. We have the inerrant, inspired word of God. We have the preserved word of God. I've got it in my hand. This book I got in my hand brought revival to America. This book I got in my hand was the source that many of you received when you got saved. It's the old black book. I'm not going to be ashamed to tell people I'm a King James only guy. It's potent seed. It's powerful seed. It's penetrating seed. It's piercing seed. Woo! I've been preaching this thing for 46 years. It works. Ain't no problem with the seed. No problem with the sower. But there's a whole bunch of problem with the soil. So what I'm going to do, we're going to have a soil test time tonight. Can I tell you this? Every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room, you're one of the four seeds. Or, excuse me, one of the four soils. You're one of them. I'm hoping, I would say most of the people in this church, surely you that are here tonight on Sunday night, surely you're good ground. But just in case you ain't, I shouldn't say ain't, but I'm going to say ain't, I'm country. I'm going to show you these four soils. Jesus showed you, I'm going to show you. Four things I want to give you, then I'll let you go home. Number one, he sowed seed by the wayside. Now, when I was over in Israel, I made a point to do something. In one of the fields that we went to that was sown, to try to find out what the wayside was. I did find out. Let me tell you what it was. Mostly it was around the edges of the field where people walk and they pat it down and it gets real hard. But sometimes they were trails right down the middle of the field. And they packed it down also. And I saw one particular field. It was all the way around. I saw a wayside all the way around. See, the Lord threw the seed over the wayside. Now, the word wayside in itself gives me this thought. It was distant from where the action was. The action was over in the field where the good ground was. And the wayside was just as about as far away as it could be. Amen. Somebody help me. Let me give you three things under this. First of all, it represents casual involvement. I want to tell you what's going on in our churches today. We're making everything casual. We've lowered the standards. Everything's casual. Now, hold a minute. I am not one that'll tell all you that you've got to dress in a tie and shirt. That's not what I'm saying. But I want to tell you what, I think a preacher ought to. I refuse to come here. I wear my mauve coat, but I'm not wearing anything. I refuse to come here in that little tee, but for my little earrings, and because I want to be user friendly. And the thought is, let's just have a casual church. I mean, go ahead and bring your donuts in church. Don't bring them in here. Green will kill you. Bring your donuts in. Come where you are. Just look crazy. It don't just come on. Just be casual about it. And I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do our best not to stir you up too much. That is Christendom. That's where we are today. We're in a place where a lot of people on the wayside, and all church is casual. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not casual. It's a business to keep people out of hell. It's serious business. It's the very life and soul of men and women are at stake. It's just not casual. And I'll just be frank, there's too much casual playing church.
Amen.
Let me give you another thing about Wayside. It's careless about the importance. I want y'all to know something. Now, I'm going to lay it down to you, okay? Let me give it to you the way it ought to be given to you. Write this down in your notes. God ought to be first. Before your family. Number two, your family second. And then number three, the church is third. That don't mean the church is less. I tell you this, somebody. Am I preaching? See, we have got careless about how important getting the seed out, how important the commission to the church is. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to upset you, but God gave the commission to the church. Careless about its importance. I'll tell you how important this is. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Good preaching. But we see people that come in church, they're so casual and so careless, not real important to them. They'll make their showing, most of them Sunday morning only. They'll make their showing, very casual, not real important.
That's how I was.
Well, do what?
That's how I was.
Sure. Casual. Careless.
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, I see it every day of my life. But lastly, notice this. The seed was confiscated from instruction. The Bible said the fowls came and took the seed. Then he interpreted it and he just said who the fowl was. He said Satan done it. Satan's the dirty bird. Now I want you to know, here's what his job is. Whether it's to sinners or church members. I preach the seed. I dump it out on you. I dump it out on you. I dump it out. And I want you to know something. Satan's job is to do this. Come as immediately to you and do whatever he can to steal it. There's people that he steals it about 3 seconds after they get it. just steals it. You know why he steals it? It didn't land on good ground. It landed on padded down ground. It didn't have time to go in the ground, so it went on the wayside. So it was just laying out in the open. It wasn't hard. Just go out and snatch it. No, man. Let me really make it plain. Come on now. You ever been in church? And come on, listen to this. And God, the preacher was happening, and the word was coming, and it was coming good. And something come to you, distracted you. You ever been that way? How many's ever been in church and got distracted? Come on now, don't you lie. You got distracted. You said, what was that? That's the dirty bird. He just got something on your mind, got you thinking about something else, and while you were distracted, took the seed. Took a seed. Now, you know why he was able to take a seed? Because the ground was padded down, and the ground was out on the wayside, and the ground was casual, and the ground represents that kind of Christianity, and there's not much to it. And I don't want to be ugly tonight, but I'm going to be honest. There's a lot of Christians tonight, there's just not much to it. So shallow. So casual. I mean, how can people come to a church? Don't y'all tell me you don't get preached about sin. I preach about everything. I preach about alcohol. I preach about drugs. I preach about pornography. I preach about same-sex marriage. I preach about it all. And how can people come into this church and not get right? It's because their wayside hears and the seed's stolen that quick.
Amen.
Good preaching, Reverend. You know what it is? They're distant from the action. Oh, they don't. I watch folks come and go around here. And I know the ones that go. They don't ever get involved. They're so distant. All right. How many got that pretty well? Is that pretty well? Well, let's go to the second one. Boy, this is one I really want to get across. Man, my time's moving. Look at verse 16. Then there were some that fell on stony ground. It was destroyed by affliction. Now notice what it says. Look at 16. And these are they likewise, which were sown on stony ground. Listen to this. Who when they heard the word, immediately received it. Boy, that sounds good. Don't it? But listen. And they have no root in themselves. And so endured but for a time. After when that affliction or persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they are offended. Whew. I think we ought to sow seed everywhere. I'm not a Calvinist. I believe whosoever will. But let's look at this stony ground. Because I see a lot of stony ground Christian or people comes in my church and under my voice. First of all, they were emotional in their response. Now notice something here. I know every one of you probably say, if you've been here long enough, that I'm an emotional guy. Well, I got something in me that makes me emotional, but I'll be honest with you, that ain't what rules me. Now, let me explain emotion. There's people come to church that something went wrong in their life. And they come, not with godly sorrow, but with worldly sorrow. A lot of times they got caught in sin. A A lot of times their wife or the husband said, you're getting out if you don't straighten up. A lot of times they may had a bad, the doctor told them some bad things and they had some of that hospital religion. I've seen some people get some hospital religion but never got in church. They got emotional. And I'll tell you what, I'll tell stories. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Jesus was telling a story here. But I want to tell you what I'm trying not to do. I don't want to play on your emotions tonight. I want to preach the Word of God. And I want the Word of God to convict you. And I don't want you to make an emotional decision upon your circumstances. I want you to make a decision based on the fact that you're a sinner and that you're on your way to hell and you need Jesus. That's what the facts tonight is what you need to make a decision about. Let the motion come later. Let me ask you a question. Okay. We got a train going down the road. Right? I'm going to give you three compartments of the train. Then I want every one of y'all to tell me which one we can do out without. We got the engine. Got it? We got the fuel. Sometimes coal, whatever. Whatever the fuel is. And then we got the caboose. Or the, where you ride. Let me ask you a question, Larry. You've been on trains. Will that train that you've been on, Larry, be able to make it without an engine? Would it be able to make it without a fuel source? Now, I'm going to ask you, would it be able to make it without a caboose? You know what the caboose is? Feeling. Here it is. You got the fact. You put your faith in the fact. That's the fuel. And what happens is you get saved and then you get the feeling. You don't get the feeling before you get saved. You get the feeling after you get saved. And don't depend on feelings to be saved. Boy, I'm preaching good tonight. I'm telling you, I am. Now notice this. Then secondly, they were empty in relationship. There wasn't no fruit. They're empty. They were exposed to reality. I want y'all to know this. And I don't want to be ugly, but I'm going to be. What you hear from Joe Osteen and that bunch of health, wealth, gospel, it's not really reality. Anybody tell you that you're not going to have any trouble and everything can be pleasant and prosperous and great, they're lying to you. Amen. See, verse 17, they were exposed to affliction and persecution for the word's sake. I'll tell you what, I've watched people come in, and then when a little heat gets on, guess where they're at? Out the back door. Out the back door. Because persecution and affliction, you know what persecution does for a Christian? And affliction draws you near. You know what it does to a sinner? Drives them away. Good preacher, Reverend. Listen. I ain't done. See, I'm going to give you, listen to this statement. This is just a little quote. Trouble is what exposed them that they had no fruit. When tough times comes, it shows if you're rooted or not. Good preacher, Reverend. Now look at 17D. Whew. They're edgy in their reaction. Immediately they are offended. People get offended over nothing. They want somebody to offend them. And they're edgy. Here's what they're saying in essence about the kind of church that we believe in. I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up for trouble. I want to ask all this in the church. How many of you, since you've been saved, had a lot of trouble since you've been saved? Almost all of you. And if you're not old enough to have it yet, you will. You're going to have trouble. It's a part of it. And here's what they do. They get edgy. I'll quote you a verse here. Great peace are they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I'm going to tell you, that's good. They leave churches. I'm going to tell you, there's some preachers, they run off more people. But there's some people just get offended, and they're what I call specialists in multi-churches. Now, if you left the church and came to this church because you got shoved out or they wasn't doing right, thank God you're here because you're in a different type church. We don't want you out. We want you in. I'm going to do everything to keep you there. There's some people, they just edgy. It don't take much. Just look cross-eyed. You're laughing, Fred. Let me go on in the message. Let me give you the third one. I got to hurry. It's moving time. Verse 18 to 19. There's some that fell among thorns. Chad, this is distraction, distracted by attraction. Thorns choking off. It focuses on the worldly. The cares of this world came. You know what? There's too many people that are in this thing for the cares of the world. And they're full of worry. Look what the Bible said. And the cares of this world, they're full of worry. And notice this, and I'm going to bring a point about this. And the deceitfulness of riches. They're focused on worldliness. They're full of worry, and they're falling after wealth. Now I'm going to make a statement. I really want to get this. And this, I hope this don't shock you. I want every one of you to prosper financially. I want you to get rich. Then you'll pay more tithe. But if you ain't going to give the money back to God, I want you to go broke. Hold a minute. Some preachers preach this, and here's how they preach it. That it's bad to have money. It's not what I was teaching. It's not the bad. Here, listen to this carefully. Listen to this quote. It's not bad to have money. It's bad when money has you. Oh, I need to say that again. It's not bad to have money. It's bad when money has you. Amen. I don't want to ever get there where it has me. And it's tempting. Come on, everybody. So you that God's blessed financially, I want to tell you, thank God for you. And I know most of you, you give it back to God. Hallelujah for you. But never let it to have you. Don't let it rule you. Because the thorns will choke off the word. I'm done. Then it fell on good ground. That's delighted by application. Look at verse 20 and I'm finished. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. Now, when we stand before God at the judgment seat, he's going to reward us for our fruit. Now, notice, and shall bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. This ground was prepared soil, Ted. Prepared. Now, here's a question. How do I get from 30 to 100? Why would I get 30 and not 100? Good question?
Yes, sir.
I got it. You're prepared soil because you're bringing. But how can I get from 30 to 100? It's easy, Denny. The more I yield to the word, the more fruit comes from me. Now, here's the key. If I'm a little, you know, I'll let God take me so far. I know Christians, the seed fell on good ground, but they just went to a place of 30. You know why? Oh, it was in good ground, but it wasn't worked. You got to keep working it. You got to keep working it. That's how I said, work out your own salvation. The more you're working, the more fruit comes. How many is that simple to you? Come on, please tell me it's simple to you. You know what? I'm done. Here's all I want to do. I want you to do your best to let, you people here tonight, I personally believe you love God. I believe you do. And I want you're working, but I want you to meet your greatest potential. I don't want everybody in this church not going to be a preacher. Come on. But you could be a servant. You could serve God, be fruitful. And I'm going to tell you, and you might be rewarded better than the preachers because you yielded more than they did. Who says that a preacher is a guy that's going to get all the reward? He'll get the reward if he yields. It's all dependent on yielding and working it. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If you're going to work it out, it means you already got it. Now let me ask you a question. How many want your life, your kids' life, and your grandkids' life? And by the way, how many of y'all know today's Grandparents' Day? Hold on. My favorite granddaughter gave this shirt to me. I got that on Granddaddy's Day. Guess what? That little 7-year-old girl, she's saved. She's baptized here. You know what? She's part of what we done. Mike, I was looking over at you. I seen your football player, that Megan Hand, 10 pound on 6. Whoa, big boy. And you holding it. You want to live, boy. You know what I want? You know, some of you got grandkids that are serving God. You got kids that are serving God. You got kids that love God. You know what you need to do? I'm done. But let me tell you what I want you to do to your kids. You know, I ain't wanting them all to be preachers. I want them to be that if they're called or missionary. But here's what I want you to do. They got fire. And I want you to flame it. I want to tell you, you parents, I want to tell you something about your kids at this church. We got a good group of kids that go to this church. And I'm proud of every one of you. And I'm wanting one of them preachers going to try to run you off. I want you in. Give me five right there. I want you in. You're right on the front row. You could get some moisture up here. You ever got any? You don't want it either, okay. Well, I'll try not to slobber on you, okay? How many like it? Look at these kids around here. I want to do this. I'm done. Every person under 21, stand. Come on, every one of you. Hold a minute. Look around. This is Sunday night. Somebody wave a flag and say amen. Give them a hand. Thank you. Parents, thank you for having them. Thank you for doing what you are. Keep it up. And if there's somebody here tonight that wants to even get more God's blessing, why don't you come around the altar and yield? Stand with me. I'm finished. Father, touch this invitation. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I am weak,
folks are coming. Pray for your family. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for your children.
Jesus, keep me from all wrong.
Yeah.
I'll be satisfied as long.
Yes.
As I walk, let me walk close to thee.
Yes.
Granted, Jesus is my plea.
Amen.
Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Yes, 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 yes. Pray for your children. Pray for your family. Amen.
If I
yes.
Picture,